Welcome back to Going Over, live from the Archview Flooring Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
Please tell me you weren't running to Who Let the Dogs Out this morning.
No. We just talked about who let your dogs out yesterday.
Ah.
See? Oh my gosh.
The bloomin' idiot. It was Mrs. Hanselman. She did it.
So I found one of the old promos. We were talking about the first segment. Welcome back into Going Over. Joe and Andy here with you. Giamatti and Grover back at the studios. And we were discussing, so we were discussing, you heard as you were coming in, the intro.
Yeah.
And how maybe we need to redo some things, at least make the quality of the audio better on the music.
The music is terrible over the air.
Yeah.
It sounds awful.
See, we need to change that. We need to
it
get that
sounds,
checked.
I mean, it sounds like 1965 radio. Mm-hmm. Hey, you're listening to KXOK here on 6:30 a.m. I'm Johnny Rabbit. Hey. Yeah. Here's Elvis and Mono.
I get it. It's fine.
Yeah.
You're not going to hurt my feelings.
No, I like the song. I don't know how to optimize it for AM radio, though.
Yeah.
I need to add some highs, I think.
Well, if anybody knows how to do it, it would be you.
I can figure it out.
You definitely can. So, the only one I can find, I'm upset about this. Sorry. But I did. We were talking about some of the old promos that we had.
Yeah.
And we found one. Would you like to hear? Would you like to hear one of our promos?
I will.
Okay. We need a minute to upload it. So.
But yeah, we do want to hear it, Joe.
So what I did, I was told I got 30-second promos that would run throughout the other shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shows of people that have moved away. Drivers in California, or escaped in Costa Rica, or who knows where on some of the others,
right,
that they've disappeared to.
Escaped Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Like at the end of Goodfellas? Not Goodfellas, Casino.
I've never seen Casino.
John Nance escapes Costa Rica.
Nance?
No,
Joe, why did he need to escape?
John Nance. Oh, because he was... He had knowledge of the mafia doings of
the
Azaleas
at Augusta?
No. John Nance.
Larry Nance. He was a basketball player, I believe, for the Knicks.
No. This is the character John Nance in the movie Casino.
Okay.
Yeah, he had knowledge of the Azaleas at Augusta. And but they found him. They thought he was going to talk, and they made sure he didn't talk anymore.
Oh, so they put duct tape over his mouth.
A little bit more than that.
They took out his tongue.
Nope.
I don't understand.
They put him down on his knees and put a bullet through the top of his head.
Ooh.
Where
did he survive?
No, he did not.
Oh, okay.
No, he didn't survive. So, spoiler alert, sorry, on a 22-year-old movie.
Mm-hmm. You can text in 855-282-8255. That's 855-282-8255.
So, you know,
I don't know what was programming, what was playing last night, the 7 o'clock hour, 7 p.m. hour, but it looks like one of the texters was quite a disagreement with whatever was on the air.
Oh, really?
At that time, which was probably national programming.
Probably.
And they just weren't happy with what was on at the time.
So, we've been talking about country music artists a lot over the past couple of days.
Yeah.
Where's Vince Gill rank on your list?
He's nice. He came out with something every now and then. I mean,
Grove?
Yeah, he's all right. I think Grove's in the other room right now.
Oh, is he?
Putting stuff in. But
Vince Gill is now a member of the Eagles.
What's that?
I was going to ask you, where's Vince Gill rank on your list of country artists?
I think he's one of the... He's maybe not one of my personal favorites, but I would say he's one of the best of all time. He's a surefire Hall of Famer.
Vince Gill is now a member of the Eagles.
Yes, he's been doing some fill-in work for Glenn Frey.
Yeah,
and Glenn Frey's son.
He's a permanent member of the Eagles now.
That's a strong play. He's a good picker. He knows how to play guitar. He knows a lot of the songs. He did a great cover of I Can't Tell You Why.
Well, I'd like to hear this, Grove, and it's on YouTube. It's the Eagles, Take It to the Limit, the Classic West at Dodger Stadium. Vince Gill sings Take It to the Limit, which is my favorite Eagles song, which is actually originally, it's Don Felder on the, no, sorry, it's Randy Meisner on the lead vocals on the original. Hit some crazy high notes and would never do the song live because he could never hit the high notes live. So, but I'd like to hear this coming back. It's Take It to the Limit.
Take Eagles. It to the Limit with Vince Gill.
With Vince Gill.
Okay. Well, speaking of the Eagles, they play in Philadelphia, which is in Pennsylvania, where the Cardinals are.
Pennsylvania. Hey.
Yeah. That's,
hey.
That,
look at you.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's a Western education.
Yeah. That's a Western.
It's a segue.
Right there. Yeah.
It's a professional segue.
And the Cardinals were in Pennsylvania last night taking on the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
How about that Joe Paterno?
How's he doing?
We're going to bring that back.
Cardinals win 4-0 last night. Lance Lynn pitches into the seventh inning and actually gets a hit left-handed. A few games ago, Lance Lynn decided that he's been so bad at the plate right-handed that he's going to start hitting left-handed. Something he said he hasn't done since like 6th or 7th grade.
Not good for him.
And you know what? I didn't talk about this at the time. His excuse for it makes sense as to why he's going left-handed. He says his launch angle is actually better left-handed than it is right-handed.
Explain that to me. I realize what launch angle is, but why would from
it's
one side
just
of the plate?
The way that you swing, it is the way that the motion of your swing is going through the zone, which actually, and again, I realize Lance Lynn, well, he, you know, is playing baseball pitching at a major league level.
Right.
And honestly, I think if you looked back at his career, might not have swung a bat that much even in his senior year of high school, even
correct,
though he was drafted out of high school, but decided instead to go to Ole Miss and pitch there. When I played, I hit left-handed, and I'll be hitting left-handed coming up in the Legends game.
At, oh, really?
The Rascals game at the Rascals, August 19th. That's a Saturday, August 19th, with guys like Fernando Tatis and Rick Ankiel. So I hit left-handed. I was very good left-handed hitter. I hit the ball. I didn't strike out. There were times where I wanted to hit right-handed. We had very good left-handed pitchers in the conference that we'd face. And I thought, okay, you know what? I fooled around with swinging right-handed a time or two. I can hit the ball there that way.
Yeah.
I swung and missed a lot, though. But if I hit it, somehow I had more power hitting right-handed than I did left-handed.
Do you write left-handed?
Everything else I do is right. I golf and I swing left-handed. I swing a baseball bat left-handed. I write.
You
play
golf? You play golf left-handed?
Uh-huh.
You're kidding me.
No.
Huh.
And that's growing up. I would always, you know, go out and mess around with my dad's golf clubs, and they were right-handed. But when I went to go buy my first set, I bought all left-handed clubs.
Huh.
Yeah. So,
I can't believe that.
Why?
Because the golf swing, if the right side is your dominant side, if you're right-handed, it doesn't make any sense to hit a left-handed.
Really?
That makes zero sense to me.
Oh, that's how I swing a golf club.
Huh, how about that? All right.
So, I could tell just in batting practice, in the cage, if I swung right-handed, I mean, I could put the ball, I'd probably hit home runs right-handed, but I would swing and miss a lot.
Mm-hmm.
If I swung left-handed, I would make contact every time. I wouldn't swing and miss. I would hit the ball and, you know, put the ball in play. Anything can happen. If I was right-handed, I'd probably be a three-outcome guy. You know, I'd probably strike out, I'd walk, or I'd, you know, hit a ball pretty far. So, I don't know if it has something to do with, you know, maybe it is which shoulder or whatever, you know, dropping the shoulder maybe and getting that ball elevated, or knowing that I do have to compensate somewhere, knowing that I'm not as strong of a hitter right-handed, so I'm just trying to hit the ball farther. And Lance Lynn's looking at it and going, you know what, I'm hitting under 100 right-handed. If I can hit the ball further left-handed, I mean, what the hell is the difference between, you know, hitting 095 and 070 at this point?
Right.
Especially, and of course, he doubles last night. So it's, yeah, it's odd. And I ended up never actually hitting right-handed at a game because I was talked out of it. And the way it was explained to me, which I still think is ridiculous, is that most switch hitters start right-handed and they'll switch to left-handed because of speed and be a step closer first.
Yeah.
And I was doing it just to get an advantage over tough lefties.
Right.
So I would definitely, you know, that's something I don't care which way Hudson swings. Do not care. One way or the other. That's I have friends that will, and I know quite a few people that have made their kids bat left-handed and kind of forced them into batting left-handed. I do not care one way or the other which way he swings. But I would encourage him to switch it.
I guess it's because I started playing golf at such a young age, right-handed. Because I have my dad's right-handed clubs. And then he got clubs cut down for me. That, I mean, even like when I played hockey and played baseball, I mean, everything was right-handed.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I'm nowhere near a gifted athlete by any stretch of the imagination. But, yeah, that's pretty great. Now, do you throw left-handed? Or
no.
Do you throw right-handed?
Throw right-handed.
Huh.
Yeah.
Can you throw left-handed?
No. I mean, I could throw it out there.
Yeah, but it's like a girl throwing.
Yes. it's not athletic at all if I throw left-handed.
Right.
I can't right left-handed. I can't. No, the only thing I do is swing a golf club and a baseball bat right-handed.
Huh. Okay.
Basketball, I couldn't. I mean, you barely can't even do like a left-handed layup.
Right.
In basketball. With that, yeah, there is no way. It's just the way I picked up a bat and started swinging it.
Huh.
Was right-handed.
That's neato.
Yeah. So that was a fun little note from last night. So I did mention so Tommy Pham last night in the game. Lance Lynn, by the way, goes 6 1/3 along with that double of his. But Tommy Pham has just been outstanding. To where I saw Derek Gould tweet this the other day, and I like this, so I'll steal it from Derek. It's not a matter of not a matter of where he will be playing. It's just what position he'll be playing. Now Tommy Pham has gotten himself to where you have to put him in the lineup each and every day. He is some of the numbers that he's putting up right now, hitting .311 with an OPS over 900. That is just really, really impressive. And then when you look at it, you look at the Cardinals' OPS, and nothing is outstanding to the point where you look at this lineup and you go, God, that's one hell of a dominant lineup. I think you look at it and you have to figure out how to piece it together to make it work. To where you're basically going with a similar lineup to what you had yesterday with Carpenter, Pham, Fowler, Jerko, and Molina. But I wonder at some point if you do look at it and you say that you're going to put Tommy Pham hitting third, if you're going to move that around at all, if you're going to mess with that at all with the current lineup that you have and try to put it in a situation. Try to put it in a order that will give you the best chance to score the most runs. Because right now, you have Jed Jerko with an OPS of .888. Tommy Pham, as I said, with .917. Matt Carpenter .825, and then Dexter Fowler. Again, the batting average not good. .240 average. But on-base percentage of .327 and a slugging percentage of .473, it puts that OPS right around 800. Luke Voit, by the way, in his 43 at-bats, an OPS of 976. Grove, you mentioned it yesterday, texting me that Carpenter with another error at second base. I don't know what to do right now because Luke Voit seems like a guy that you want to get into the lineup every day. Colton Wong's a guy that you probably want to get into the lineup every day. I mean, the team's four games over 500 in games that Colton Wong starts on the season. So he's definitely a guy that you need in your lineup. I know that the emphasis going into the season was defense, defense, defense. At what point do you start to think about sacrificing even more defense to get your truly best lineup out there on the field? And when I say that, I mean a little bit of Jed Jerko at short. Grove.
Ooh, Jed Jerko at short? I'm okay with Paul DeJong at short right now.
But is your best offensive lineup right now, your best offensive lineup right now have Wong, Jerko, Carpenter, and Voit? Who would you rather, okay, if you had to pick four between Wong, Carpenter, Jerko, Voit, and DeJong, who would you pick?
I'm taking, and this is sounds like a cop-out, but looking at the construction of the roster right now, considering everything, I play Jerko at third, DeJong at short, Wong at second, and Voit at first, and I put Carpenter at one of the corners with Piscotty and Grichuk out because even if he's just average defensively, I think he's better than Jose Martinez defensively out there, and you can keep his bat in the lineup. That's only a Band-Aid, but right now, that's what I go with. I got to play the hot hands, and I know Wong's working his way back, but it's not like Wong was having one of those up and down years. I mean, Wong, after a slow start, was one of your best hitters until he got hurt. So, and
yeah,
he has trouble maybe sometimes a little with the routine plays, but he has the range, can make the great plays. If he can clean up some of the routine work, then I think he's your best option defensively at second. Luke Voit had a couple nice picks at first last night, and that bat, I know you talk about the Matt Adams presence, he kind of brings that element to the table. So you can't take Jerko out right now, and Paul DeJong is just, especially these last couple weeks, on another level. So looking at everything the way it stands, I would maybe consider putting Carpenter in the outfield in one of the corners while Grichuk and Piscotty heal, and then kind of seeing how it works out from there. Maybe one of the bats get cold, like DeJong, Wong, or something, and then you consider making a move with Carpenter back in the infield. But as of now, that's what I would do. I mean, that way you get all those bats in there, and I think you have the best defensive infield you can have with what you have.
Yeah, I look at that. DeJong, by the way, I give the small sample size on Luke Voit. DeJong, Luke Voit only 43 at-bats. Paul DeJong, 135 at-bats, 41 hits. So he's got a 304 batting average with an OPS of 899.
He's been, I mean, like you said, small sample size, but I mean, he's been historically, especially that series last weekend against the Mets right before the All-Star break. I mean, they couldn't get him out, and everything was an extra base hit. It was just uncanny. And he's making the plays that Aledmys Diaz couldn't make it short, which is crazy because you think this time last year, Aledmys Diaz is coming off of an All-Star appearance in the talk for Rookie of the Year up until he got hurt, and now he is, I don't know how he fits into the plans going forward. He may not, really. I mean, he could be a trade chip, but I believe his contract's up after this year. Where does he fit in the picture?
You know, Aledmys Diaz, too, when you look at it, he's hitting 260. He was hitting 260 on the year, and he did have 71. I mean, he was well on his way to another, you know, racking up the hits. I just think there's nowhere to play him right now. And it's an average team. It really is. It's an average team, but I do think that they have the players there to be above average. It's figuring out who to play where.
Right.
And that's really what it is. It's figuring out who plays where on the team. And I don't know if the Cardinals can figure that out at the moment. I tweeted out the question. looking forward to seeing some responses on that. I just put of these five, which four would you most like to start for the STL cards? Carpenter, Wong, Jerko, Voigt, DeYoung. And it said, if you want all five, how do you do it? Aesthetically pleasing in the Twitter world.
Do you want all five? How do you do it?
Yeah. Like Grove said, does Matt Carpenter have to be an outfielder?
Isn't that where he started?
He played a little bit there. He's always played all over. He's been a guy that could hit, so you played him wherever you could. So something to chew on. We'll look at that. We'll chew on that as the show goes on. But I do want to get into this 90s music thing, or 90s movie. When we come back in a little bit shorter of a segment to wrap up the 10 o'clock hour.